If there's nothing else, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 14. And I said in Sunday school that for some reason it wasn't planned this way, that we kind of have a traveling theme for this morning. We were talking about guardrails in Sunday school. We're talking about roadblocks today, okay? And so we've got both those things going on. But anyway, we're continuing our series from Egypt to the Promised Land, and through it we're wanting to learn from this how God takes care of his people. We see his care for the nation of Israel, and we find that God is the same yesterday, today, forever. The way that he cared for his children back then is the way that he cares for us today. And so anyway, last week the journey began. They got out of Egypt. They were thrust out after the death of the firstborn. And God revealed to them that he wasn't going to lead them on the obvious path, that he wasn't going to take them the way that made sense, but he was going to take them on the scenic route. And he was leading them around dangers that they were unaware of and ones that they were not ready for. And so he does the same thing for us. Rarely does God lead us on the quickest route or the one that makes most sense to us, because he doesn't see things the way that we see him. He doesn't operate based on our wisdom and our knowledge. His is far greater than ours. Yes. And so as we follow him, we need to hold fast to his promises, both the ones pertaining to our journey here on this earth, as well as the destination that he has prepared for us. Yes. Hold fast to his promises, knowing that he's taking care of us. We also need to be encouraged by the past. Whenever we see his record, the way that he has cared for us before, we know that he'll care for us now. We know that he'll care for us later on. And so we can see his track record. We can be encouraged by it and remember those victories, that we can be confident in the victory now. We need to be trusting in his wisdom. He knows far better than what we do.
Yes.
He knows things that we don't. And then we need to be encouraged by others. We're not traveling alone. We can draw strength from one another. Others that have traveled the road before, others that's been through it before, we can draw strength from their testimonies. And then we said, lastly, don't stop following God just because you're not sure about the route that he's taking you on.
Yes.
It's just continue going and trusting him to get us there. And so today we're still in a similar situation. Egypt is behind. The promised land is somewhere ahead. And the children of Israel are following God's direction. And one would think that would be a good recipe, right? A good recipe for success. We're following God's direction. God is leading us. There's a pillar of cloud. There's a pillar of fire. All these great things that are happening. And so clear skies ahead, right? Smooth sailing. We get on the motorway. We set the cruise control. And next stop is the destination. That's what we would assume, because God is the one driving. But realistically, we know that life rarely ever works that way. It's rarely ever smooth sailing. Now, there's some that are some mistaken leaders, or even some that are intentionally manipulative, that try to sell the Christian life as such. Mm-hmm. That if you're right with God, everything's going to fall in place. If you'll just obey God, then he's going to answer all of your prayers, and he's going to do it immediately, and your health is going to be perfect, and your job is only success, and the money's always going to be there. And if that doesn't go that way, then there's something wrong with you. Right? We've all heard of those kind of things, those kind of situations. Maybe we've been subjected to them, mm-hmm. to where we feel as if we have to do everything exactly right in order to get the right results. And if we're not getting the results we want, there must be something wrong with us or something wrong with God. Mm-hmm. And so I challenge anyone who thinks that way to start looking at Christians in Scripture. Start looking at God's chosen vessels in Scripture, and I challenge you to find one of them that had the smooth road. Find one of them that everything fell into place. Find one of God's choice saints that never had an issue, and you won't find one. I believe part of the reason for that, and I go off script just a little bit, one of the reasons for that is there's no strength in that. There's no growth in that. There's no faith in that. Because God has us following him to grow. He has us following him to learn about him. God has us following him to become more than what we are now. And if we are just coasting, if everything is just smooth, there is going to be no strength. that we are going to be very weak Christians. We're going to be very anemic in our faith. We're going to have no need for God if there is no difficulties on this earth, right? Many want to follow God and make their life easier. And in a way, life is easier when we're following God, because we avoid the consequences, the harsh consequences of sin. If you're following God, then you're not going to be dealing with those things that make so many people's lives difficult. As I said, the consequences of their sin. Sin has built-in consequences.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So in that, you do make life a little bit easier. But for me to tell you that it's easy or that God's going to make all your dreams come true is going to be a disservice to you. It's going to be really a disservice to God. It might seem a little bit heavy or negative. You might say, well, he's a bit of a pessimist. Yes, I do have a bit of Eeyore in me, I think. But anyway, I'm not trying to be negative as I'm talking about be ready for hard times or be prepared for hard times, or the Christian life isn't all sunshine and rainbows. What I am trying to do is equip you.
Right.
I want you to be equipped. I don't want to sell you a pipe dream.
Yes.
I don't want to paint the Christian life into something that it's not. I don't want to try to sell you on something and do like a bait and switch. Oh, follow Jesus because it's going to be such a great time. That's not necessarily the case. I can't promise you that. And so I want you to have the right expectations. I want you to grow in your faith as God works in your life, rather than miss what he is doing because it doesn't look like you expect it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people that say, I don't see God in my life anywhere. And it's because he is not working the way they expected him to work.
Right.
And so last week we saw God lead Israel around the trouble. This week we're going to see him lead them through the trouble. Okay? So let's look at Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus 14, we're going to look at the first 18 verses here. I would read the whole chapter, but you'd fall asleep. 18 verses might be pushing it anyway. But anyway, Exodus 14, verse number 1. By the way, I'm not saying God's word's boring. I'm saying I am. Exodus 14, verse number 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall you camp by the sea." So notice there, God says, I'm going to lead you to camp by the sea. Everybody caught that, right?
Yes.
God is leading them to this place. "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and will be honored. I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." So he says, you're going to camp by the sea. I know Pharaoh is going to follow you, but I have a purpose behind it. Are you catching all of this?
Mm-hmm.
"And they did so, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, for we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his host, upon the chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, I come to you today, once again, just thank you so much for this time that we have in church today. We thank you for this the word of God that's before us, Lord. We thank you for all that has went into providing it and preserving it to us, Lord, and that we have it before us to instruct us about you and guide us in the way that we should go. And Lord, I just pray, ask you that you would just be with each person here today, that they would gain from the service exactly what they need for their lives, that it would be used by your Holy Spirit to apply it to their hearts and lives, to draw them closer to you, to encourage them, to get them through difficulties and hard times and struggles that we all face. And Lord, I just pray that you would minister as you see fit. And Lord, I just pray that you would guide and direct me, Lord, in the things that I say, that I would present your word accurately, Lord, that I present these truths in the way you'd have me to. And Lord, help us as a church to be a witness here in Longford, how we desire, Lord, for you to be glorified, but for people also to come to a saving knowledge of you. Help us, Lord, to be a witness. We thank you so much for all that you do, and all these things we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Have you ever encountered a roadblock? Yes. We all have, right? Driving down the road, and all of a sudden there's a road closure, and there's signs for detours that may or may not be easy to follow. You're traveling in a place you're unfamiliar with, and all of a sudden you run into a roadblock, and you pull out the sat-nav, and you're trying to figure out, where do I go from here, right? Yeah. You're looking for alternate routes. We've all been there, I think. One time, I was traveling. I was coming home from work, actually, and I decided to take the scenic route. I tried going on a back road, and in a narrow spot on that back road, there was a tree across the road. And so I traveled quite a ways on that back road. And for me to turn around and go back the way I came and go the other route would have taken me quite a bit of time. And I was in a Jeep that was fairly off-road capable. And so I had the bright idea that instead of turning around and going back, there was no way to go around it because it was a steep drop off on this side. There was an embankment on this side. I decided I'm going across it. Okay? It wasn't that big of a tree. I had plenty of ground clearance. I could go across it. My approach angle was slightly off. And whenever I went across it, I got high centered. My axle sat down on top of the tree and I was stuck. And so I looked at it from every angle. I tried everything that I could. I had a jack with me. I tried to jack it up. I tried doing everything I knew of to get across the tree. And by the way, I was in a very remote area. So I didn't have phone service. So what I ended up doing is I was taking my phone. Thankfully, I actually had one. But I was taking my phone, going around, just trying to get service so I could call someone to bail my stupid self out. And I finally got a hold of someone. And after they got done laughing at me, they said they would come. And they brought a chainsaw. And we got to work, and we cut the tree out of the road. And after they laughed at me, and they took a picture. And I got on my way. And they'd probably still tell you the story and joke about it. But anyway, that was my experience with a roadblock. And so I told it to you guys so you could picture that. You could laugh at me. But anyway, in our passage today, Israel ran into a roadblock.
Yeah.
They were following God. They were following Moses. They were doing what they were supposed to do. They didn't go the route that seemed like it made sense to them, but they went the route that God told them to go on.
Right.
And it led them right to the Red Sea. So could you imagine this multitude of Israelites going through, I don't know what the terrain would have been like, wilderness, desert, whatever. And they arrived on the banks of the Red Sea, and all of them were looking at Moses and saying, what did you do to us? Yeah. Right? Because they said, hey, why don't we go this route? This is the way all the traders go. This is the way the camels and the merchantmen go. And Moses says, no, God wants us to go this way, and right at the Red Sea. They're stuck. Can you imagine being in their position? It's far worse than a road closure, right?
Yeah.
This is life or death.
Right.
This isn't just being rerouted. But instead, they have a sea in front of them, and then they have Egypt behind them.
Right.
They have all of Pharaoh's chariots. It says 600 chariots and horsemen and all the other chariots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like the whole army is enclosing upon them. They aren't fighters. They aren't warriors. They are running away. They are escaped slaves. And now the army is coming after them, and they're all looking at Moses and saying, "What did you do?"
Mm-hmm.
The journey was finished before it really got started. As far as they knew, this was going to be the end for them. They even looked at Moses and said, "Because there was no graves in Egypt, you let us out here to die in the wilderness."
Mm-hmm.
That gives you like a little bit of insight into where they were at mentally.
Right.
But remember, these things are written for our learning, not for our entertainment.
Right.
The things that we read about in Scripture isn't just an account of what has happened, but as I said, it instructs us in how to understand how God deals with us,
mm-hmm.
how God cares for His people. And so these things happen to them and can be applied to our lives, okay? We should know by now that God will lead us on the scenic route. He'll take us a way that we don't expect, and we're not always going to understand all of the decisions that God makes for our life, all of the ways that He guides our footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that He does it for our good.
Exactly.
We can trust that He knows what's best.
Yeah.
But we're also going to find that He often leads us to places and situations which we see no good way out of.
Mm-hmm.
Times whenever we feel as if we're stuck.
Yes.
You ever feel stuck?
Yes.
You ever get to the place where you're saying, "God, I don't know why you led me here. I don't see any good coming out of this. I don't see any way ahead in this." And you just feel like you ran into a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they were at. And so we can relate to this, can't we? And so the first thing I want us to consider here is our perception in the matter. Because Israel was taking stock. They were taking inventory. They were there. There was a huge crowd of them. They looked ahead, water. They looked behind, army. And in that situation, if you go to the side, go to the right hand or to the left, the army's still enclosing in on you.
Right.
Yeah.
They were stuck. They were kind of pigeonholed, if you will.
Yeah.
And so it was only a matter of time before they were all going to be slaughtered as far as they understood it. God had led them to this place, and in their mind, there was absolutely nowhere else that they could go.
Yeah.
Nothing that God could do, and they decided they would have been better off to remain slaves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of us have been in a situation this desperate, in a situation that was life and death. And if you ever have been, obviously you made it through it.
Yeah.
Right? But I figure we've all been in situations that at that moment felt impossible.
Yes.
We've all been in situations that seemed desperate.
Yes.
Ones that we questioned if there was any way ahead.
Right.
There's times in our life that we feel as if we've ran into a wall. We felt like the Red Sea was in front of us. And we've been stuck between the proverbial rock and a hard spot.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We've all been there. And we couldn't see a good way ahead.
Yeah.
What we end up doing, we do the math, right? You run all the numbers, you try to figure everything out, and it just doesn't work out on paper, right? You lay awake at night, anxiety comes in, you can't sleep, you're weighing out every option, you're looking for every opportunity. I've often pictured it as being stuck in the hallway and jiggling every door handle trying to find a way out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
We've all been there. Or I believe we have. If you haven't, buckle up, it's coming.
Yeah.
That's reassuring, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we lay awake at night. We spend the days in anxiety. We seek after counsel, and we pray about it, and we're looking for answers, but we just don't have any clue what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, if you've not been there, you follow Jesus, you follow His way long enough, it's only a matter of time before God will lead you to a place where there is nowhere for you to look but up.
Yes.
He's going to lead you to a place where you have to rely on Him.
Right.
Because the Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
That without faith it is impossible to please Him.
Mm-hmm.
So God at times will lead us to places where we must go forth in faith. That might not seem too appealing to us until we consider the rest of the story. Right?
Exactly.
We look at the children of Israel and we see that God led them to just such a place. God put them there where there was no option besides him. And then he proved that he was the best option.
Yes.
Think about it for just a moment. If they would have had a different way, if they would have came up with a solution, if they would have went around the Red Sea and continued to be followed by the Egyptians, how long would the Egyptians have trailed them? How long would that have went on? How long would that have been a problem? Sometimes God leads you to a dead end so that he can fix a problem that you have no way of fixing.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
True.
And just because every option that we see doesn't work doesn't mean that we've considered every option.
Right.
Because God has options that we don't see.
Yes.
There is routes that we have, that God has, that aren't programmed into our sat nav.
Right.
I love walking through the Bible and looking at all the different illustrations, all the different stories that God has given us of times that men saw no way forward and God made a way for them.
Mm-hmm.
When God told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him, Abraham knew that this was the promised child, that this was the one that the promised heritage was supposed to come from, the child that was to make him the father of great nations, that was going to be the nation that would be a blessing to all other nations. It was through Isaac, and Isaac could not become a father if he was sacrificed on the mountain. So Abraham obeyed, believing that God was going to do the only logical thing and raise Isaac from the dead.
Yeah.
I say logical a little bit ironically. Is that where our mind would go? He said, if I do what God is leading me to do, I see no way possible for him to make me the father of a great nation. So, in order for God to keep his promise, he's got to bring him back to life. And that was where Abraham had landed at.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That is a walk of faith, isn't it?
Yes.
But guess what? He didn't get there on day one. The kind of faith that he had on the top of Mount Moriah came from years and decades of walking with God and God proving himself over and over again.
Yes.
So if you don't have that kind of faith, don't worry. That's something that's built over time, mm-hmm. right? We continue through the Bible. We can find other examples. We find that there's many times that Israel saw impossible odds. They were greatly outnumbered and they were facing armies that would have had them slaughtered immediately on paper, right? But God changed the odds. There were battles that were fought that they didn't have to lift a weapon in because God made a way when there was no way.
Mm-hmm.
We find that whenever Daniel refused to bow down, whenever he refused to bow to the king's orders and he continued praying to his God, that route ended him at a lion's den.
Yes.
That looked like the end, right? And so he was looking for deliverance. He was looking for a way, and it ended him in a lion's den. That was his Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And God made a way out of it.
Yes.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, similarly, if you were looking at that furnace and they were opening it up and getting ready to pitch you into that furnace, you would have said, this is the end. Mm-hmm. This is how I die. My story is over.
Right.
But God made another way.
Yes.
There's miraculous ways that God works whenever it seems like there is a roadblock. Whenever there's no way forward. And in these situations that we're talking about, they didn't see the way that God was going to answer this. The way that God was going to deliver them, the way that God was going to come through. According to their perception, this is it.
Yes.
The road is blocked. There's no way forward.
Right.
Lazarus had been dead for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
By now he stinketh, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about this. God has been too far. And then imagine the 12 disciples. As they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, saw him crucified, saw him lifted up, and they said, we have bet our entire lives on this. We've spent the past 3.5 years following this guy. We knew that he was the Christ. We knew that he was the Messiah. Now he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Roadblock. None of them, even though it was prophesied, none of them were banking on, I'll just wait 3 days.
Exactly.
Because guess what? After 3 days, none of them still believed it. See, God had a way through that roadblock that none of them ever anticipated.
Yeah.
Their perception was so short, they didn't factor in that God could do things that they didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
In all these cases, God's people were right where God led them, and they could see no way forward, but God made a way. God took care of them.
Yes.
I know from personal experience, Leslie and I have experienced plenty of these.
Yeah.
We've experienced plenty of roadblocks. Whenever we first got married, we moved to a church that we got busy and we were involved in. We were doing things and we were excited about. And the pastor ended up disqualifying himself by committing adultery. I mean, he had pastored that church. He'd been a fixture in that community. And all of a sudden, the church was in turmoil. It was blown up. We were young, in our, late teens, early 20s. And we were like, this is our church. This is our family. This is where we're ministering. This is where... And then all of a sudden, it just all falls out from under us. How do we go forward from this? How do you survive that? And God brought us through it. Most of y'all know our situation with infertility and how God chose to build our family a non-traditional way. That was a huge roadblock for us. We were saying, God, we did everything right. We honored you with our marriage. We waited for you to marry. We've prayed about this. We sought your will. We're trying to do it. And now what? There's no way ahead. I don't see how this is going to be fixed. And there were tears cried. There were many people we talked to, and we just didn't know. And then God had a different way that we hadn't imagined.
Yeah.
There are several times that I attempted to get different jobs.
Yeah.
I even went and took courses and got certifications, and everything was in order for me to get specific jobs. And I couldn't buy a job in those fields. Because God just absolutely closed the door tight. And I said, God, what are you doing? I've invested time. I've invested money. This is a good way to take care of my family. And God says, no, not this way.
Mm-hmm.
And he closed the door up tight. And I've said several times that if God would have allowed me to get those jobs, I probably wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
He knew what he was doing.
Right.
And so he had different ways that he led me.
Mm-hmm.
And even whenever we first came to Ireland, we were excited. We'd been telling people we're going to Ireland, we're going to start a church, we're going to do all these things. And it was an exciting time. You know, we were moving forward. And we arrive here, we land in a church, we start ministering in the church, and suddenly there's roadblocks. It doesn't go the way we thought it was going to go. And we about didn't make it through our first year. And God made a way through it. And if it wasn't through ministry, it was through the government, because for our first 5 years, I think we spent more time without a stamp than we did with it. Not for lack of trying, but it was just bureaucracy. And so over and over, we're seeing, God, we don't know how to move forward. We're trying to obey you. We're trying to walk by faith. We're trying to follow you. And roadblock, roadblock, disaster, trouble, problem. And God, you led us to it. What are you doing? How are we going to make it through this? And I stand before you today saying, we survived every one of them. I'm not a ghost. I've made it. And God has brought us through each of these trials, each of these hard times. And he'll do the same thing for you. We might evaluate the circumstances. We might use all of the information that we can amass and try to find a way forward and say, God, this just isn't working. And what does it say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
But whenever we look at the nation of Israel here, as they're standing there at the Red Sea, they don't respond by faith. They don't say, okay, God, where to next? We're waiting on you. What's next? What is their reaction? What is their response? Well, their reaction, as I said, it wasn't necessarily spiritual. As a matter of fact, that's often the case in Scripture.
Yes.
Have you noticed how often that even God's choicest servants don't always respond correctly?
Yes.
We definitely see that with Moses. We see it with Elijah. We see it with several others. I mean, we see it with David. We see so many examples in Scripture of people who come up against difficult situations. They're trying to follow God. They're trying to do what's right. Things get difficult and they respond poorly. And the reason why I bring this out, this is very encouraging to me, because a lot of times in our mind, we feel as if if we're going to get God's blessing, if God's going to take care of us, if God's going to bring us through something, that it is dependent on our response. I have to do everything perfect. I have to keep enough faith. I need to have the right attitude toward God. If I respond in anger, if I respond in doubt, if I respond in fear, then somehow God's going to leave me on my own. He's going to abandon me and nothing's going to work out. That's not what we find in Scripture, because God knows that we are flesh. God knows that we are dust. He knows that we're going to struggle. He knows these things. Yes, we need to respond in faith. We need to walk by faith. But the faith that we walk in is going to be an imperfect faith.
Right.
And so whenever we look at the nation of Israel, they get to the edge of the Red Sea, and their reaction, I can see really four very relatable responses in it. And so the first one, as I've already kind of hit on just a moment ago, they responded in fear. They were greatly afraid. And if anyone ever tells you that they have such great faith in God that they're never afraid, they're either a fool or they're lying to you, or both. Because there are times that we're going to be afraid. There are times whenever we're not going to know what the next step is, especially whenever there's responsibility on us. Fathers, whenever you get to the place where you're leading your family and there's a hard time and it's up to you to figure it out and you don't know which way to go or what the next step is, there is fear because there's people depending on you. You realize that?
Yeah.
There is fear. And so you respond in fear. We're surrounded by trouble. We don't know which way to go. We don't want to make the wrong move. And so we are afraid. I know there's plenty of times in my life I've been paralyzed by fear. I don't want to make the wrong move. I'm afraid of leading people astray. So I freeze. And that's kind of a default. There are other people that they default to act now, think later. I think now and act later. And I'm not saying one's better or worse. I'm just saying that's what happens. That's a result of fear. Fear either pushes you to move or pushes you to stay still. And so we don't want to make the wrong move. We're afraid. All of the what ifs abound in our mind. You ever sit there with all the what ifs and just allow them to consume you? It's not a good thing. You think, I followed God, I did everything right, and now I'm stuck. You lose your job. Your finances fall apart. Your kids go astray. Hopefully not all of them together, but your marriage has difficulties. And you just don't see a way forward. It's, God, I've been faithful. I've been following you. How could you let this happen to me? We're afraid. Don't see a path forward. Nothing that we see ends up in a good ending. Nothing that we see.
Right.
Another response that we have is to fight. They turned on God. They turned on Moses, right? You did this to me. They were angry. They were attacking. Because we get combative whenever we get stuck. We're like a cornered animal. And we want to fight back. And by the way, this is an encouragement to have grace with one another. Because whenever people are going through situations, they are going to behave in ways they wouldn't normally behave. Mm-hmm. Including you. We have to have grace in these situations, because whenever we feel stuck, whenever we feel afraid, whenever we don't know what the next step is, whenever we are on that brink of that, wherever we're facing that roadblock, we start fighting. We get angry. Might get a little bit bitter and start attacking everyone else because we're afraid and we're stuck. And as I said, we also do that toward God. Mm-hmm. You ever hear of it, someone who was angry with God?
Yes.
Have you ever been that person? You ever pray an angry prayer? You say, oh, I'd never do that. I'd be afraid God. Have you ever read the Book of Psalms? There are some angry prayers in the Book of Psalms. And God is big enough to take all of our emotions.
Exactly right.
I'm not saying be disrespectful. I'm not saying to be blasphemous, but I'm saying that God can handle whenever we are angry, us saying, God, I'm not real happy with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't what I expected. This isn't what I like. This isn't what I wanted. God, how could you do this to me? He's not going to be offended by it. Because he knows what you are. And so we get angry with God. We get angry with everyone who tries to help. And we desperately lash out, like I said, like a cornered animal. Or sometimes we just forfeit. I quit. I tried this God thing. I tried Christianity. I tried following Him, and look at where it led me. I'm done with it. I've been better off where I was before. I was better off when I was out in the world. I was better off whenever I wasn't going to church. I was better off when I wasn't reading the Bible. I was better off when I wasn't trying to do right. I'm just going to quit. Forget all this. Turn away from it. There's been plenty of people who've done that as well.
Yes.
And so that's what they said. They said, we should have stayed in Egypt. We should have stayed in sin. We should have stayed in bondage. Because at least we weren't dying by the Red Sea. At least we weren't in this roadblock. We weren't stuck. You have this idea of what good does it do to serve God if He's going to let things like this happen to me. And so we pull away from God. We pull away from church. We pull away from one another. Because we arrived at a hard place and we don't see any way through it. But the fourth thing that we find here in response to the roadblock is faith. It's faith. You can respond in fear, in fighting, in forfeit, in faith. I'll make it nice and alliterated for you guys to remember. Respond in faith. And we see this in Moses, but not in the rest of them. Now, Moses, I think his faith was a bit shaky, but still, he was looking to God. He's like, okay, God, now what? I'm looking to you. It's up to you. You let us hear. What are you going to do now? It was also seen in our example with Abraham. And this is the response that I would like to have. But I'll tell you, it's also the response that only comes from a little bit of maturity in our Christian walk. You know what? The way that Abraham could respond in faith was because of all the times that he responded in fear and in failure before. And he saw God come through anyway. And he said, if God's going to take care of me here, He's going to take care of me here.
Right.
And so he responded in faith. That was a mature response.
Right.
That's what happened there.
Yes.
And so it takes going through things enough time to know not to panic now. The right response comes from the right expectations, okay? Which is what we're trying to set now. If you are having the right expectations, you're more likely to have the right response.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you went through it enough times. So it's either expectations or experience
right. That
guides the expectations. So we have the attitude, God, you led me here. I don't see any good coming from this. I don't see any way out of this. But I know you're there and that you know what you're doing. And so I'm just going to stand still and wait for your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we see in this. That's an attitude of faith based upon right expectations, based upon a multitude of experiences.
Yeah.
And we stand still and we wait and see the salvation of the Lord.
Right.
So that leads us to our third point here of our salvation. So there's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be times that we get stuck. But God brings us to places where we run out of options, to where He is the only option. He is the best option so that He saves us. The Hebrews knew that they had taken stock of every possible option they had, every opportunity that they had, and they knew that they had none except for God. And that was the lesson that they needed to learn, to make God their first resort, not their last one. We've all heard the phrase, when all else fails,
mm-hmm.
try God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be when all else fails.
Right.
He should be the first resort.
Yes.
And so He led them to that place so they would see that He was a safe place that they could put their faith. That was the whole purpose of it. We tend to be quite independent. I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure it out. We take even our Christian walk as an opportunity to prove to God that He didn't go wrong when He bought us. Right? Okay, God, I'm going to make you proud. No. See, God didn't save us for us to perform.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't save us to make Him proud.
Exactly.
God saved us so that we could walk with Him, so that we could know Him, and so that He could transform our lives.
Right.
He had a different purpose.
Right.
And so God wants us to get in our heads that we need to depend on him always. Mm-hmm. Not because it's for his ego, not for his selfishness, but because it's what's good for us and because he loves us. Just as you love your children and you look out for them and you want what's best for them and you're taking care of them and you want them to listen to you, not for your ego, but for their good. That's how God deals with us.
Yes.
And so the way they had to come up against something that they were unable to overcome is a good picture of salvation. Mm-hmm. It's a good picture of salvation. Because for a person to get saved, they need to realize that they're stuck.
Yeah.
That they can't save themselves. That there is no other option but God, and that's when we turn to him.
Right.
That's what happens at salvation. Yes. In a way, we could use this as a picture, and this is just my thinking here as an illustration. But if you would imagine the law being the nation of Egypt behind, the armies coming and closing on them, and the Red Sea being the judgment. There was no way stuck between the law and the judgment that Israelites could ever get through, and God had to make a way through the middle of it, and that's mm-hmm. Christ.
Yes.
That's what happens at salvation, because we think, if I can do enough good works, if I can be religious enough, if I can be spiritual enough, if I can do all these things, then. Mm-hmm. But whenever we look at the law, we look at the judgment, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is nothing that we can do, not by works of righteousness that we... There's no way that we can get through that Red Sea. There's no way we can't swim it, we can't ford it, we can't go around it. The only way is if God makes a way through it, and that's what Jesus did on the cross.
Yes.
And that is an excellent picture of salvation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so until you see that salvation is impossible apart from him, you're never going to look to him. Also, we find that God brought salvation in a way that no one expected. Mm-hmm. No one was looking for the cross.
Right.
And still, people look to everything but the cross. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Plenty of people trusting religion, trusting morality, trusting everything but God because God made it in a way that they can't wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
The people of Israel were not looking for the Red Sea to part. Mm-hmm. They weren't coming up to it and saying, okay, open up. Here we go. They're looking for somebody. They may have well been anticipating a helicopter, which didn't exist back then.
Right.
Because parting seas didn't exist either.
Right.
You imagine just walking up to the sea and then just coming back like the doors at Aldi? Right across.
Yeah.
He defeated the enemy soundly. If not for the Red Sea, the Egyptians would have been constantly battling with Israel all the way through the wilderness. And God says, I'm going to take care of this once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
And with salvation, God takes care of it once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
He saves us completely. We don't have to continue walking on saying, do I have it or do I not? Do I trust enough? Do I do enough good works? Am I changed enough? Am I transformed enough? It's at the moment of salvation, he is taking care of it. Signed, sealed, and delivered. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Then also his goodness was on display for all who are willing to see. We can see that both verse 4 and verse 14, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Mm-hmm. He said, what I am doing is not just for your benefit, it's for the benefit of everyone around.
Right.
As a matter of fact, whenever 40 years later they get to Canaan, they get to Jericho, they send the spies in, and there's a woman by the name of Rahab that hides the spies, and she says, I heard what your God did down in Egypt. We heard about the Red Sea, and we are scared to death of you guys because we see that your God does things no one else can do.
Mm-hmm.
And see, God leads us to places where he can put his power, his ability on display so that it brings other people to him because people need to know him.
Mm-hmm.
The world's watching and seeing how God brings you through what was meant to destroy you. Whenever you face hardships, people are aware. They see whenever you run into the roadblock. The people that you work with, they hear that you're a Christian. And then they see your world fall apart. And they say, what are you going to do now? And when they see God carry you through that, when they see God split the waters for you and lead you through on the other side, they say, there is something more to the God they're serving. They have something that we don't. I want what they've got. These are opportunities to put God on display, to glorify Him and to point people to Him. And so for our initial salvation, as well as all of these roadblocks that we run into throughout our lives, God has a chance to rescue us in these times of trouble, looking to Him instead of looking to ourselves, looking to Him instead of to the obstacles, looking to Him for deliverance because we know that we can't and there are no other options but Him. He's the only way of salvation. And there's going to be plenty of times in your life. He is the only way forward. Continue following Him through it. The last thing I don't want to say, and I'll make it brief. We see our celebration. They got to the other side.
Right.
And when they got to the other side, they celebrated.
Yeah.
They sang songs. They wrote songs to commemorate the occasion. They were praising God. They were glorifying God. They said, we thought we were dead. And then the waters parted. And here we're alive and they're dead.
Right.
That would be exciting stuff, wouldn't it? And so on the other side is celebration, it's praise, it's thanksgiving. God has come through again and again. Mm-hmm. Once more, He's done the impossible.
Yes.
The result was final.
Mm-hmm.
It's done, it's over with. We don't have to face that one again.
Right.
God didn't just postpone the problem till later. He didn't just kick the ball a little further down the road.
Mm-hmm.
He says, whenever I take care of it, I do it right. I take care of it for you.
Yes.
It's also fantastic. Not just final, but fantastic. No one can do it like God does it.
Exactly.
We stand back and we say, I don't know how He did it, but praise God He did.
Right.
And it's also faith building. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Mm-hmm.
And patience, hope. And that, not be ashamed. Tells us we go through these things and God is building us up through it. He is increasing our faith through each of the trials and tribulations that we come through. We see that illustrated with the nation of Israel over and over again. As God works, they have a problem, they fuss, they fall apart. It's the end of the world. And then God fixes it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they forget. It happens again. And God fixes it and they forget. And eventually they start to remember, hopefully, right? But He does that in our lives. He is helping us to see that He is someone that we can rely on.
Yes.
That He is a God worthy of our faith and our service.
Yes.
Think of all the biblical examples of people who could say, if He brought me through that, He can bring me through anything.
Uh-huh.
Plenty of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
On the other side of the trial is something to celebrate, something to praise God for, to proclaim to others, and to keep in mind to bring strength the next time that we get in an impossible situation that only God can fix. In Psalm chapter number 40, David says, you've brought me out of a miry pit. You've set my feet on solid ground. You've established my goings. That's a paraphrase, by the way. But he said, I was in an impossible situation. You picked me up out of it. You put me on solid ground. You gave me a good direction to go in. And so Psalm 40 is a great praise to God for His deliverance.
Yes.
And so if you go God's way, you will run into situations where you feel like you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Where you feel they're impossible because you see no way around it. But you don't see the options that God has available to Him.
Yes.
You'll be tempted to react in fear or in fighting or in forfeit. But try instead to choose faith.
Yes.
God brings you to things that only He can bring you through in ways that you don't expect, that takes care of it completely and is on display for all to see.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, you're going to have reason to celebrate. And so in knowing that, you may as well start celebrating now for what He's going to do.
Yeah.
And so I hope this will encourage you. Things may be hard at times, but nothing is impossible for God. You may run into roadblocks. God has ways through them.
Yes.
Just trust Him with it.
Yeah.
Go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to You today. Just thank You so much for these great illustrations that we have in Scripture, Lord, of how great You are, how capable You are, how worthy You are of our faith, of our trust, of our dependence, Lord. And Lord, I know we're tempted so oftentimes to see all the problems and to see the lack of of options that we can find, Lord, but help us, Lord, to constantly rest in your sufficiency, rest in your ability, and Lord, just to continue following you, doing what you have instructed us to do, walking where you have guided us at, Lord, trusting, Lord, that you know what you're doing and where you're going, and that you'll make a way even whenever it seems there's no way. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's going through one of these hard times, that they're seeing these roadblocks in front of them, Lord, that this would strengthen them, Lord, that it would cause them to, instead of going forward in fear, they go forward in faith and allow you to do what only you can do. Lord, I pray that each of us, Lord, that have been through these things would look back on them, Lord, and be encouraged, would celebrate the things that you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, I pray most importantly, if there's anyone here today that has never came up against that wall of sin, Lord, that separates us from you, Lord, that they would come to you in salvation. They would allow you to take care of that that's in between, Lord, that they would allow you to part that Red Sea of judgment, Lord, and take on that price that they can't pay there at the cross, Lord, and that they would put their faith and trust in you for salvation before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we thank you once again. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.